Chapter 3. Quinn Tell was dumbstruck. He had been asked to write not one, not two, but three episodes. He was more than excited. He was honored. He was going to be able to add to the list of things that helped him feel less alone when his family had alienated him. He found the show one day while scrolling through YouTube. It had been recommended to him before, but he had just skipped over it the first few times he'd seen it. One day, he had already watched everything he could when he decided to give it a try. The first episode began, and he could immediately tell from the animation style, voice acting, and overall plot that he was going to love the show. It had started with Millie and Piper being best friends who had normal teenage lives in a futuristic galactic high school when evil Galantra had stolen the planet's power source, the Hamburger Crystal. Millie and Piper, being at the top of their classes, were tasked with retrieving the crystal and stopping Galantra. At the end of the episode, as the two heroines started on their journey aboard a small shuttlecraft called Traumschiff der Liebe, or Dreamship of Love in English, Piper confessed her love for Millie, and their romance took off just as their grand adventure did. This was a shock to the viewers when they first watched the episode, but for Quintel, it was a godsend. People like him, in an animated show similar to something you might see on Cartoon Network. As the series went on, the two characters fell deeper and deeper in love, but not without their struggles. In one episode, Piper was kidnapped by Galantra's thugs, and an identical robot was put in her place. Since the robot acted different, Millie saw a change in how Piper acted that caused the two to grow apart. After Piper was rescued and the robot was revealed, Millie had a hard time separating the hurt feelings she had from the relationship. For Quintel, the show was a refreshing, realistic, queer story that he found strongly comforting while he struggled with his own identity. Now, he was able to add to the show and help others like him. He could barely contain his excitement. Immediately after reading the email, he ran to Chris's room. "Chris, you will never guess what job I just got." Quintel spoke so fast you could barely understand what he himself was saying. "I'm sorry, what? What job did you get?" Chris asked. "Sorry, yeah, I'm just really excited." "I can see that. Okay, spill the truth, tea, hunty." Continuing to speak quickly, Quintel continued. "Okay, so you know the show Millie and Piper?" "No, you didn't," Chris said in disbelief. "Oh, but I did. They want me to write for three whole episodes strung throughout the season." "What? Congrats, dude." "Thanks. I don't know if I could have found something better to work on." Smirking, Chris got up from lying on his bed. "Well, you know what this means, right? We need to go out on the town and party," he said, shaking his shoulders back and forth on the shimmy. "Yes, bitch, let's get crazy," Quintel said excitedly, joining in with a shim... Quintel said, joining in with the shoulder shimmer... joining in with a shoulder shimmy rave that had been started in Chris's bedroom. That night, a few hours later, Quintel returned to the living room after getting into his evening outfit to quite the sight. Chris stood there in the center of the room, pre-game vodka cranberry in one hand. He was wearing what could only be described as unicorn vomit that represented clothing, although saying it was clothing would have been generous. He had a pink/blue iridescent bra on, with tassels to match, shorts that came up to his junk covered in pink. Blue shifting sequins and a denim cowboy hat. High heels made of denim and a single black feather earring completed the look, and Quintel couldn't help but drop his jaw. "What do you think? Is it too much?" Chris asked in the strongest Cali girl accent you could muster. "I thought about adding some strong contour to chisel out these cheekbones, yes God, but I couldn't find my brushes." "No, I think you're good," Quintel said, a bit dumbfounded and visually overwhelmed. "If anything, you could turn it down a little, but I think skipping out on the contour was the right call." He gestured to Chris's whole body, looking him up and down and saying, "It's a bit much. You might scare more off than you can catch." "You know what? You're right. Chris said, clearly already a bit tipsy. I'll trade the tassel bra for a denim one. Then I'll match more consistently. Not what I meant, but sure, honey, go off, Quintel said, giggling. Chris changed his attire, and they left the apartment and entered the rideshare vehicle Quintel had ordered. They rode through the heart of Boston, enjoying the sights of closely packed cars and tall buildings. They may have been to Boston a few dozen times already. They may have been to Boston a few dozen times together, but they still sat there in it. But they still sat there in awe at the beautiful neon signs that lit up the street and reflected off the cars and buses driving by. Quintel felt a small tear form in his eyes and crawl across his cheek. He wiped it away with the sleeve of his black jean jacket almost subconsciously before catching himself and chuckling aloud. He had gotten emotional over something as simple as light. He made a mental note of this so he could use the experience as reference for Millie and Piper. Taking a glance over at Chris, he saw him leaning his head against the window, wide-eyed and smiling from ear to ear. A pink neon light reflected off the highlighter Chris had on his cheekbones and brow. It definitely adds to the beauty of the city, Quintel thought. One day, he'll find the perfect guy who'll literally sweep him off his feet and will give him the world. He nudged Chris with his elbow. Keep doing what you're doing, baby girl. You look great tonight. Where in the world is that? What you're doing, oh baby girl? I don't think that's what it was. Just keep doing what you're doing, comma, baby girl. That's probably what happened. They want the episodes I'll be writing to have a theme that is consistent with the other writers' episodes. Ah, I see, Chris said, trying to speak above the club music that was picking up. He turned to the stage that had been lit by a spotlight, and Quintel gasped. My God, is tonight a drag show? Chris smiled wide, mischievously. Why do you think we're here? Why do you think we went here? He turned back to face the stage as the lights dimmed and the whole bar rose in an uproar. A spotlight hit the back of the stage, where a red sequin backdrop shifted and sparkled. Every Time We Touch by Cascada began as a long, smooth leg emerged from a split in the red fabric, and the performance began. La Guppa Yaraza, as she was introduced, slowly seduced the audience as the song began, oh, so ever so gentle, making her way down the short aisle through the audience and touching a few choice men's faces with the tips of her clawed hands. The song picked up at the first chorus, and her choreography increased in speed and complexity, and she made her way back to the main stage. The second half of the chorus began, and La Guppa was joined by two dashing, shirtless, oily men who completed the ensemble on stage. They danced and danced until the end of the song, ending with glorious applause from the bargoers. Thank you, everyone. You've been a great audience, La Guppa said into a microphone someone handed her. Now that I got my workout for the week done, let's get some other bitches out here to entertain you. From New York City to perform some stand-up, please welcome 5-time RuPaul's Drag Race auditioneer, Madam Magic. The crowd cheered again as the host disappeared and Madam Magic took the stage. Hey, everybody, how you doing tonight? Chris turned to Quintel, who was still only around a third of the way done his drink. Do you want to get closer? Sure, but do you want to get another drink first, since you're almost done yours? Lord knows I won't finish mine anytime soon, Quintel suggested. Oh, yeah, I guess we can. I didn't even realize I was out. They got up from their table, getting Chris a new drink, and making their way closer to the stage. Starting closer to the stage and moving back, Quintel found a table with a group of three guys sitting in it enjoying the show. Do you mind if we sit here? Quintel asked, pointing back and forth between him and Chris. Sure, no problem, one of the table goers said. I'm Bertie. This is Adam and my husband, Chris, Bertie said, introducing the others. I'm Quintel. And I am also Chris. Ha! What a coincidence, Bertie's husband, Chris, laughed. Chris and Quintel smiled and took a seat. "Give it up for Madame Magic, everyone," the drag host said, taking the stage once more, the audience applauding and retracting their tip-bearing arms. Where are y'all from?" Birdie asked, clearly the confidant of the group. "Well, we just moved here from Vermont, but I'm originally from Arizona," Chris responded. "Vermont, you say?" Adam asked. "Same here. I've been in Boston a few years now, but I plan on moving to NYC next year to join my brother in running... But I plan on moving to NYC next year to join my brother in running his studio." "Studio?" Chris said, perking up excitedly. "What does your brother do?" He's a designer for Broadway costuming. He wants to go solo and sell pieces individually instead of working for a company. I'm an accountant, so I'll be handing him the financial part of it." "How cool," Chris said, sipping on his straw again. Quintel just sat there. He heard Adam mention his brother, and he was suddenly lost in thought. Quintel's brother, Rich, had been deployed in Afghanistan for 13 months, and before that, it was Israel for what had turned into three deployments totaling 2.5 years. He hadn't seen his brother in person for over 3.5 years, and when his parents took his coming out poorly, Quintel had decided not to tell Rich, in case he took it bad, too. "Hey, Quintel, are you okay?" Chris asked, lowering his voice down a notch as he spoke into Quintel's ear. "Huh? What? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Just thinking about Rich, I just realized how much I miss him."
"Who's Rich? Your boyfriend?" the other Chris asked. Quintel chuckled.
"No, he's my brother. He's been deployed for a long time now, and I really miss him. The most I've seen of him was the rare video call when things were calm and safe enough."
"Deployed? Where to?" other Chris added.
"Afghanistan. He's been there for the past 13 months or so, and there hasn't been any news if he's coming back soon."
"Does he know you're gay?" Chris asked.
Does he know you're gay?" Chris asked. "I know you didn't tell him because your parents didn't take it all that well. I know you didn't tell him at first because your parents didn't take it all that well." "No, he doesn't know. I want to try and keep our relationship where it is. I don't want it to be weird when he comes home, whenever that is."
"Honey, I get it," the other Chris said. "My mom and dad separated when I was young, so when I was older and I finally met back up with my dad, I was really scared. I didn't have the best relationship with him, so I was worried that it would ruin my chances."
"How did it go?" Quintel asked.
"Surprisingly, it went well. I didn't realize it at the time, but my dad ended up being my biggest supporter. He and I now get along better than we did with me growing up. And he even comes every now and then to see my shows."
"Shows?" Chris asked, ears perking up to hear what he suspected was true.
"Yeah, I do drag most nights here. Tonight's my night off, so I thought I'd spend some time with Birdie."
Chris looked into Birdie's eyes, and they shared a kiss.
"Basically, as a takeaway, remember this. Even though your family might get weirded out at first, they are still your family. If they truly loved you before, the fact that you're gay will not make a difference. They will still love you."
The other Chris's words comforted Quintel and gave him a sense of hope that everything would work out. The rest of the night, Chris and Quintel enjoyed the other three's company and the fun, high-energy entertainment. Around 11 p.m., they decided to head home, saying a farewell to their new friends. Chris ordered a rideshare car, and they made it home through the hustling, bustling traffic of the city by 11:30 a.m. By 11:30 p.m., Quintel retired to his room of boxes, opening his phone for the first time since they got home. A notification for the app Quintel was currently trying to beat, an ad from a website he shopped at occasionally, and the junk that held his newest emails, one from his mom and one from Will Barbara. Moms could wait a few minutes. Quintel tapped on the email from Will B. and read it excitedly. "Hi, Quintel. Since the team is mostly based in northern New England, we decided to set up a few meetings in person in Boston. In one of your emails, you said you lived in the Boston area. Would you be free sometime next week to meet with the rest of the team over there to start things moving? We'll try and be as accommodating to everyone's scheduling as possible. For example, since I live in California, I can't make the first few meetings in person, so I and a couple other people over here will have our own meeting, and we'll conference call in so we can all get started.
please email Beth, one of our producers, to figure out the best time. We don't have a set amount of time, so we don't have a set amount of time we want the meeting to last, but we want to make sure we can touch base with everyone. Thanks again for waiting for us, and I can't wait to talk with you and everyone else. Sincerely, Will B. Quintel may have only just moved to Boston, but his schedule was anything but full. Immediately, he scrolled to an earlier email thread where he'd first talked with the producers, which included Will B., who was also directing, and Beth, who was also in charge of all scheduling. He typed out a reply and read it over before sending. Hi, Beth. Will emailed me and said I should email you to figure out scheduling for our first meeting with everyone. I don't have a specific schedule, so I'm basically free whenever. Just tell me when and where. Quintel F. Quintel put his phone down to get changed for the night, slipping into his cozy sheep pajamas and fuzzy slippers. A couple of YouTube videos later, and Beth had responded, a bit of a surprise to Quintel since it was so late. They would be meeting the following day around 1 p.m. at one of the team members' apartments, since they hadn't set up their official office yet. Quintel RSVP'd and fell back to his pillow, exhausted from the fun night he'd had. The email from his mom fell to the back of his mind, sitting there unopened until the morning. Quintel laid there sleeping and dreaming of new episodes he wanted to write, and his phone pinged every few minutes with new emails from his mom. When the morning came, he woke to shaking from Chris. Quintel, wake up! Chris's voice was frantic. Something happened with your dad. End of chapter 3.